Morning. How y'all doing? I'm from New York. I said y'all. Isn't that cool? All right. I'm trying to fit in. That's an amazing song. Amazing song. But I want to get the energy lifted up just a little bit. Amen. Where's Julie Fields? Julie Fields? Julie Fields, please stand up. Most of you know Julie was baptized 2 weeks ago, and this is the first time that we've had a chance to do it publicly. We've talked about it a ton in our ministry, but congratulations and welcome to the kingdom of God again and again and again. Doesn't that always lift up the spirits? Look at Mary, she can't stop smiling. I mean, it's awesome, right? When our children get baptized and when God's work is done. You know, it's great to see many of our returning seniors slash now freshmen in college returning back to us. They know who they are, so it's great to see you guys. You know, it's been a really busy couple of weeks for us. And a couple of weeks ago, me and Richard went to Ridgecrest, North Carolina. And we were there for our Southeast Leaders Retreat. And man, it was so cool to be over there with the brothers and sisters. The unity is amazing. The friendships you build and the lessons you learn are just amazing. And obviously we go to these things to bring back lessons to you guys. We go to these things to bring inspiration, but we also go to build relationships. And I just wanted to let you know about that. If the teens that are wearing the district Gwinnett t-shirts, please stand up. Give them a hand, it's okay. They're wearing a nice t-shirt. Several other teens have them, but these guys decided to wear them today. Yeah, you guys can sit down. They're wearing them because they prepared them and they made them for the teen retreat that was that happened last weekend. And the teen ministry and me and my wife were over there, and some of our campus students that came to serve, we were over there, and it was a great time. The theme of the conference was, it's not a game. I'm not preaching that now, but it's true. It's not a game. Amen? It's about life not being a game, and the idea was we were taking that from the Hunger Games. So that's why they're wearing a District Gwinnett t-shirt. And, you know, it's really cool that they hear what you're saying. If you go back and look in the back of their shirts, they actually wrote down something that I said in the past. I prefaced this very, very quickly. Some of them sound kind of interesting when you read them out of context. So I appeal to the elders of the church. I love these guys, but some of them sound kind of harsh and, woo, amen. But they were said in love. It's going to get hot in here. Amen. Let's get saved. Let's go into the Bible. Look over in Philippians 3 real quick. You know, I love that the Spirit of God always works in His church. The Spirit, the scripture that was done by Peter in communion, I did that with the teens this morning. On Thursday, I was in the back of the room when Steve Collin was preaching and teaching us about drawing close to God and our relationship with God. I was just grinning because I've been preparing this sermon for a couple of weeks now. The title of this sermon is Enjoying God. I really believe that God is really trying to get our attention when it comes to just enjoying Him, enjoying a relationship with Him, and what that looks like. In Philippians 3, starting in verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You know, I believe that when we teach and we give lessons, whether it's in this format in front of a large crowd or whether it's one-on-one, we need to be teaching what we're learning ourselves. And this is an area that I'm learning for myself. You know, I was baptized in 1995. And sometimes, you know, when we've been around for a little bit, and I know there's plenty of people that have been baptized longer than I, but when we've been around a little bit, we think we know what we're doing sometimes. We think we got it on straight. But let me tell you, when it comes to a relationship with God, We're always learning. There's always room to grow. You know, Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You know, when I hear the word straining, it sounds hard, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like that it's something that comes easy. Well, I look at that as within a relationship with God. Does it come natural for you to feel close to the only perfect being in the universe? If it comes natural to you, amen, please come help me. Sometimes his perfection intimidates me. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Sometimes who he is kind of makes me feel, man, when I mess up, can I come to him? And there's an answer for that. In verse 14, it says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What's the prize? Think about that for a second. To me, the prize is God himself. It's that relationship that we get to have with him. All the other things that we get to experience are byproducts of the relationship that we have with God. We're going to talk about that more too. You know, I taught a lesson a while back, and one of the statements that I said was that a lot of times we don't like to do the things that we should do. We like to do the things that we enjoy to do. The things that we enjoy to do are easy to do, right? No one tells you you should eat that piece of cake. You enjoy that piece of cake. So you have no problem doing that piece of cake. Are you enjoying God? That's really the question of the hour, guys. That's really what this lesson is all about. Are you enjoying your relationship with God? You know, God never meant us to plod through life with him. God meant us to strive with him. And, you know, when we look at the congregation, when we look at the world, there are some that are achieving that, but it's not the most. It is not the many. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's the few. And we're going to talk a little bit about what some of the things that stop us, that hinder us from enjoying God. You know, this message is not meant to discourage, but we do need to talk about some stuff. You know, I think we need to redefine the definition of, you know, encouragement. Encouragement is supposed to be to give courage, right? Sometimes you got to see where you're at before you can change where you're at. If you don't know where you're at, you're lost already. Once you find out where you're at, you can do steps to change that. What's holding you back from truly enjoying God? This is a couple of things I thought of. Fear. Does fear hold you back from God? Fear of rejection. Fear of change. Fear of the things that you think you'll lose because he won't accept you if you have those in your life. God's perfection. Does God's perfection intimidate you to the point where you won't approach him? You know, that happens to me sometimes. When I really dwell and think about how amazing God is, it makes me want to be with him, but then when I remember who I am, I kind of get a little shy. How's it for you? You know, God calls us to come to him with confidence, right? Laziness. We just flat out don't give God the priority in our lives that we need to. Who here struggles with laziness? Don't raise your hand. Oh, amen. Appreciate your honesty. Again, if you don't know where you're at, you can't change it. Lack of perspective. What's your perspective on God? What's your perspective about your life? This is my perspective right now. This is all I see. There could be a war going on behind me, and I can't see it because I don't know what's happening because I can't see it. What's going on in your life that's in your blind spot? And that you're not enjoying God and you're not giving him the priority in your life so that you can see it and then change it. How about past hurts? That one should have got a because that's big. Have you ever been hurt in life? Of course you have. If you're alive, you've been hurt. Some pain, some loss, Maybe the loss of someone you really loved. Maybe the loss of something you really wanted. How about of a job? In our economy now, that's pretty, you know, relevant, isn't it? God, where are you? I want to enjoy you, but I'm broke. And my family's looking at me. It's not broke as far as I can't buy a DVD. It's broke that I can't take care of my family. Isn't that where some people are at? That kind of can hinder you from enjoying God, can't it? How about unanswered prayers? God, I've been praying for my son or daughter to become a disciple since they were born. Why don't they turn to you, God? How can I enjoy you thinking that they're going to go to hell? God, I want to do something else with my life. Why are you not opening up the doors? How don't you know that the answer is just flat out no? How don't you know the answer is just yes, but not now? It's all about faith, isn't it? You know, I think that there's three perspectives of God that really hinder us. One is the performance-oriented father. You know, we look at God from the perspective of that he expects this certain performance from us. And if we don't perform to his expectations, he doesn't want to have a relationship with us. Psalm 145 verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love." Now, don't get me wrong. God does expect some stuff from us. But God does not reject us when we're not living up to expectations. If you're a parent, do you reject your children when they don't do exactly what you want to do at all times? I sure hope not. Did your parents reject you when you didn't do everything you were supposed to do? Some of us have experienced that. Some of us haven't. When we think of God as a boss, we forget about the grace that he shows us in our life. You know, in a job, when they have this performance expectation, you get fired for not doing your job, don't you? There's not a lot of God in your job. You don't do what you need to do. There are 1,000 other people outside the door waiting to take your job. Is God waiting to replace you? Do you think God is looking to put you to the sideline so that he can have somebody better doing what he wants you to do? No, he's not. God is gracious and compassionate. You know, many people look at God as the passive father. What do I mean by passive? Literally that. He's so kind of removed and not involved. You know, to me, one of the things that is killing our society are the lack of true fathers in this world. You know, coming back from San Antonio, I had a deep conviction that I wanted to do something to help the fathers of the world, not even just in our church. Because I feel like our society is suffering. But you know what? There are people in here suffering because of what their father didn't do. There's nothing I can say to take away that pain. But you know what? God is not a passive father. God is not a deadbeat dad. God is not a distant father for us. He's willing to be there for us. You know, many people look at God as being very uninvolved. It's all about perspective. In 1996, Christopher Robin Milne died in England. His father was the famed author A.A. Milne, who used his son's name in a popular series of children's books. It is said that Christopher, who died in his 70s, died hating his father because his father was so busy entertaining the children of the world, he was largely an uninvolved and distant father. It's ironic that a father who named the famous Christopher Robin from the Winnie the Pooh book series could bring so much joy to other children's lives, yet was a passive father for his own son. The lack of fathers in this generation, in this world, are killing children's dreams. They look out and see, wow, he's creating Winnie the Pooh, he even named the character after me, yet he doesn't have the time of day for me. Is that how you look at God? That God just wants to get you baptized. God just wants to get you part of the army. God doesn't need us, guys. If he wants the rocks to praise him, they will. If he needs servants, he can create them. He created us with a gift. What's that gift? Free will. You can either choose to be with him or choose not to be with him. No one wants to be forced to love anybody, right? God is not a passive father. We look at God sometimes as the punitive father. The father that's ready to give us a whipping anytime he can. Is that the way you look at daddy, at God? I like that fraudulent slip. That was good. That helps me to realize God is real to me. You know, there was one time that I remember when God was so real was when my wife was about to give birth to my daughter. And they both went into, they were both in danger of dying. And the doctor came in and said, you don't really have to be nervous, but you should be nervous. And I was like, oh, gee, thanks. You know, that really helps a lot. And she said, you know, leave the room, go outside, whatever. And I went outside, and the minute I got past the door, I looked up and I said, what are you doing? Why are you going to take them from me? And immediately I went, oh, my gosh. That was the first time ever that I realized that God was completely real. Why? Because I was afraid he was going to strike me down for daring to speak to him in such a way. God is not a punitive father. If he wanted to, he could have smited me right then. You know, we like that word, smites. You know, Thor used that word, I smite thee. That's a very King James kind of word. But we look at God as being this angry guy on a throne saying, you know, mess up and I got you. I'm going to get you. And some of us have had fathers like that. The minute we come off a line, they're very quick to bring us back to line. God is not that way. In Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Again, it says there. Slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, those three things that I just read about our perspective of God, they're all true to an extent. God does punish, but he does so like a loving father would. God is passive to a point. He's not so in our face to force us into a relationship with him. He allows us to be, he's always present, always ready to accept us, but he's not overbearing. God does expect us to perform, but not by compulsion, but because we desire to be with him and because we want to serve him. You know, I get that. That's one of the ones I get easy. It's easy for me to serve God, especially in the church I was brought up in. You know, I was baptized in 1995 in the church of New York. And, you know, it's a church and a people of just a personality driven, all the time. You're walking and you're walking fast. You know, I moved to Tampa and I realized, man, we walk fast for no reason. My wife is like, where are we going? I'm like, I don't know. We just got to get there. So she's like, you know, we need to practice walking slow. I was like, this feels wrong. I'm wasting time. I got someplace to be. You know, God wants us to slow down. Are you enjoying the presence of God? Oh, man. I want that. That's why I started studying this out. Because there has been times in my life, all throughout my life as a disciple, that I have enjoyed a relationship with God. But can't we always go higher? Can't we always take it higher? I'm not looking saying, please baptize me again. I'm not with God. Yes, I am. But I want to experience him. I want to be in his presence and realize that he is my energy. He's my strength. He is my all. I don't want to just say that. I want it to actually be. I want us to read, very quickly, a couple of the Psalms by David. You know, when I look at David, I look at him as a man who was very close to God. He enjoyed God, and his character was, he was very honest with God. You know, when I screamed out to God about, hey, why are you taking my kid, my wife and my kid away from me? I was being honest, and I don't believe God was angry with me. In that moment of weakness, I lacked faith. But let me tell you something. I regained it pretty quickly. Because I was like, oh my gosh, he is about to smite me. Well, I'm still here, right? And my daughter and my wife are right over there, so God is faithful. But you know what? Just because God takes us through some of the situations doesn't necessarily mean he's not faithful when he doesn't. We have to remember and have a perspective of who God is. Look over in Psalms 139. Okay, so that was the part where we needed to talk about the negative part. This is the part where we're going to read some good stuff. Amen? So I want you guys to know that we're approaching. We're coming to the encouraging stuff. And hopefully that stuff was encouraging to you as well. In Psalm 139, it says, this is David. He said, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. I know when I sit down, you know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my goings and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? And harbor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred towards them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David realized that God not only made him, he knew him intimately. It wasn't like God made David or made us and just left us made to figure it out on our own. David understood that, man, I need to walk with God. I need to be very close to God. I need to enjoy my relationship with him. David understood that there's an enemy out there. David understood that there were many enemies out there. And he said, "Don't I hate those who hate God?" How do you enjoy God? You stay far from sin. There is no way possible for you to live a life of sin and enjoy God. You're straight up fooling yourself. If you think on church, you can come to church on Sunday and raise your holy hands and get your praise on and leave church and go do your dirty and it not affect you, Satan got you good. He has you tricked. And it's a very common trick. It's called the trick of being religious. Religiosity. God didn't call us to be religious. He called us to be relational. He wants us to enjoy him. God wants true intimacy with him. Look over in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, starting in verse 1. Oh, this is so good. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to him. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Man, how honest is David? How refreshing is that honesty? When he could go to God and say, look, God, I know you are everything for me. And his mind even told his heart, seek the Lord. Sometimes our hearts can deceive us, can't they? Sometimes our hearts could actually be seeking something else than the Lord. Amen? I hope you all are paying attention, teens, and not talking. Amen? It wasn't this group, it was somebody over there. But I'm not going to call her out. But we need to be seeking God. We need to have God on our hearts. Amen? You know, it's okay sometimes when our hearts drift. It is. It's okay. Sometimes we bug out and we get, you know, so, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to fall away. And no, you're not. No, you're not if you stay open, if you stay humble, if you stay honest. But who are you supposed to be honest first with? With God. You know, sometimes our hearts are not exactly where they need to be. If that's where you are at today, amen. You're here. Amen. You have breath. Amen. You have a chance to make a decision to turn around and enjoy God. That's all God really wants from us, right? He doesn't need anything from us. He wants us to enjoy a relationship with him. Turn over to Psalm 62 and we'll end here. As we read this, and I pray you're taking notes and you can read this on your own, really listen to the heart of David. Understand what's going on in his heart, because I think that truly is where the lesson is. In Psalm 62, it says, truly my soul finds rest in God. Amen? My salvation comes from him. Truly he's my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighted on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they do. You know, in verse 7 it says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. Who is your mighty rock today? If it's not God, you are not on a rock, you're on a pebble. You are actually on sand that will definitely not hold you. David understood where his salvation and his honor came from. Does honor come from wearing a nice suit? No. Does honor come from how you look in your class? By being top dog? Whatever that looks like? Does honor look like being, you know, the top person in your job place, in your workplace? You know, if we're not top spiritually, if we're not leading people to Jesus, then what are we really accomplishing? In verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Let me let you know, when our hearts are right with God, we will share our faith. Here it is, David telling all peoples everywhere that God is our refuge. You know, are you having a hard time sharing your faith? Is it a challenge for you? I challenge you to say it's not sharing your faith that's the challenge. It's that you're really, truly not in the presence of God enjoying him. Because when you are, let me tell you something, it just flows out. You can't even contain it. It just comes out and you're happy to do it because it's like, oh, I got to tell this person. I got to tell somebody about this because you're excited. You're enjoying. You get the concept? It's not plodding through like, oh, I gotta share my faith with 2.5 people today and 2 equals a million. And, you know, having our hearts burdened down by numbers. God doesn't burden us down, y'all. God says, come and join me. Come get rest with me. And then we will do the things that he wants us to do. God is not a performance-driven father. He's not a passive father. And he's not a punitive father. God wants us to enjoy our relationship with him. If you have past hurts, I'm sorry. I truly am. But you need to go to God with those past hurts. God is the only one that can give you the comfort that you need so that you may truly enjoy God. Amen?
Wow, what a great message from John today. Very encouraging message. I don't know what you guys' week has been like, as if it's been crazy. I don't know. Most of our lives, I think, are probably pretty crazy a good many of the times. I asked some people in here, and he always answered chaos. I don't know if that's what your life is like, if you have kids, if you have a job, but that's very encouraging that God is not a performance-oriented father, a passive father, or a punitive father. A lot of us, including me, I'm very guilty of this, tend to be very legalistic with how we think about God. If we don't do this checkbox, if we don't do that checkbox, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. But I think John has really given us a lot of food to think about for this week. And go back and study what John just talked to us about, and we'll have an awesome week this week. Couple of quick announcements before we have our final prayer and are dismissed. If you are an usher on the new rotation, Audie needs to see you in the back of the room immediately. That means immediately. Following service, please don't go fellowship. Just report to the back of the room, then fellowship after your meeting. And the same thing with those who will be participating in choir. Go immediately to the band room as soon as service is over. So let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we are so fortunate and so blessed to be here with you. It doesn't matter where we are, what kind of building we worship in, what the weather's like outside. We know that you are with us, Father. We know that you are our sword and our shield, our strong tower, our fortress when we're weak, Father. We know, God, that you are here with us and that your yoke is light on our backs, Father. We know that we should truly rejoice and enjoy you, Father. Truly, God, see who you are and seek you out this week and have it overflow out of our hearts and out of our mouths to help others and help our own family, help our kids, help our children, help our relatives to really see who you really are, Father. We thank you, God, for giving us this day, for this is the day that you have made, Father. May we rejoice in you, God. Help us to have an amazing week this week, God. May your hand be with us in all that we do this week, God. We thank you, God, so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.